a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into the Jazz Notes podcast. Welcome in on a Thursday. Well, it's Thursday afternoon for us. By the time you listen to us, it's going to probably be Friday. And Spencer Hall is joining me here today. Alex Keery was supposed to be joining me, and then he said, I've got a can't-miss meeting with our program director, Kevin LaRue. And my first question back to him is, there really a can't-miss meeting with your program director? Yeah, we'll just leave it right there. Because, I mean, I guess if you're getting a, if it's your boss, if you're getting,
right. If you're getting a fired
raise
or something,
or fired, I guess that would be a
right.
can't-miss meeting.
Right.
So maybe Alex is getting fired. No, he's not getting fired. Maybe he's getting raised. That's what it is. That's what it is. Anyway, it's just Spencer Hall and I today here on, I guess you could say, on the KSL News Radio app if you're listening to us there, or you're downloading us here through Apple Podcasts, or maybe you're finding us at other places. So we appreciate you downloading and listening to us. And today we have a special feature. We wanted to include Alex, but of course he's not here, but we wanted to include a special feature. This feature, we want to make demands. Right, Spencer? We want to make demands. This is what we want to see from the Jazz this season. So the Jazz are put on notice.
Right.
They're on notice right now. This is what we want to see from this team this season. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, and in my case, it would be politely sent. And
oh, politely. Are... Come on now. Here's how I'm equating it.
These are demands,
it.
And if you have time, and if it's convenient.
No,
then...
I'm thinking it's more like when Kramer in Seinfeld went to Paul O'Neill. He promised a kid in the hospital. Kramer says, I'm going to, you know what? I think Paul O'Neill... I'm going to promise you he's going to hit two home runs. And then he went to Paul O'Neill, who played baseball for the New York Yankees, and decided to tell him this. This is, if you don't remember this, this is what it sounded like.
You would hit him two home runs today.
You what?
Yeah, you know, a couple of dingers.
You promised the kid in the hospital that I'd hit two home runs.
Yeah, well, no good?
No, it's no good. It's terrible. I mean,
okay, so, yeah, the things we might say, it might sound terrible, but who cares? You know what? Because we're going to make our demands, and...
Maybe I think they're going to agree with us.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure.
These are good demands. These are good things.
We'll see. Some of them are for the team. I at least have one for the fans. I have one for the
okay.
fans. But we'll see. We'll see. Let's start out with you. I said at least three. Here are the rules. You have to give three things that we want to see from the Jazz this season. We've come up with multiple, but if there's one that I want to say that Spencer says, I can't use that one. I've got to use something else.
Fair,
so
fair.
Spencer is up. He is ready to go.
Okay, well, I went to the preseason game the other day with the Perth Wildcats. And
yeah, that was...
I saw something...
What competition there was there?
Well,
okay, sorry about
not,
that.
I do not care. They were up by more than 30 in the first quarter. And I saw something special. The Jazz look sharp. They look good. They showed it again against the Raptors. So my only... demand is that no injuries. I don't want anybody hurt. And so as part of this, I'm not only making a demand, I'm also making a suggestion so that they, if they want to take my advice, as long as they're taking my demands, they can take my advice. And that is, you've got a deep bench. You've got obviously your superstars, but then it's kind of mix and match all the way around. So why not kind of alternate? Like, I've always wondered why teams don't do this. Play kind of a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday team, and then a Wednesday, Friday, Sunday team. And why not have kind of that third unit get kind of second unit minutes, but play them every other time and just let everybody stay healthy. That's all I want. An injury-free season, and if that happens, this Jazz team is going to be very special.
I was hoping you'd say you'd want to see some hockey shifts.
No,
bring five guys
no,
in
I would love
time.
A line
That'd be
change.
Awesome.
I would love a line change. That's exactly what I'm talking about. But I'm just saying a night to night. Like one night, it's your turn. And I think if you were open with the players and kind of said that, tonight we're going with this group, and we want you to kind of come after it. And the next night, because, I mean, I know the guys all want to play every single night, but I think you could get buy-in with that. Like, especially if people are getting tired, whatever. We've learned that there are scheduled defeats. I mean, when you look at back-to-backs and things like that, there are things that the gambling line shifts when a team is playing on a back-to-back or they've traveled a long time. That, to me, means that, like, fatigue is a clear factor in wins and losses in the league, and I think you could get around that by playing the guys that haven't played. And if somebody were to be clever with that, I think you could have a big advantage over a team that doesn't dare to have that conversation with the players and can't get that kind of buy-in. They have a special kind of camaraderie that you couldn't do it with every team. But I feel like this is a team that you might be able to get that kind of buy-in.
The interesting part about that, from my perspective, is you would have potentially a fresh team by the time the playoffs go
on. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that would be the benefit. Here's the downside, and you hear this all the time. I just paid $30 to $80 for a ticket, and Donovan Mitchell's not playing tonight. He's my favorite player. Why is he not playing?
But, yeah, that's true, and I get that for the first team, but I'm talking about kind of having a second and third team. So it's the guys off the bench and then the guys who are numbers, you know, 12, 13, 14 on the team. So those are the guys that you're kind of switching around. And, you know, I want the starters to get starter minutes every time. Because, yeah, I agree. If I put down, you know, $400 with my family to watch, I want to see Donovan Mitchell tonight. I don't want to see LeBron sitting. I don't want to see, you know, all these big stars. So I agree with that. But nobody's going to complain if there's a shift in the second and third unit. So that's my suggestion.
I like the idea. I think it has merit. Will it happen? Probably not, but but we're making our demands tonight.
That's right.
So, yeah, there we go. We're making our demands. My number one, I don't think I put as much thought into it as you did. My number one demand is I want the Jazz to win the Northwest Division. You may think, who cares? Because in reality, in a lot of ways, it doesn't matter what division you win, because by the time the playoffs comes along, yeah, playoff seeding, all this other. But I think that the Jazz need to make a statement here with the rest of the teams in the Northwest Division. They need to show that they're the best team. Those are the teams they're going to play the most. So why not just stomp them into the ground? I'm making my demand now. Stomp them into the ground. Show them who's boss. I don't care if Oklahoma City has Russell Westbrook and they have Paul George back and they pretty much have almost everyone coming back except, you know, a couple of new players that could bring some energy to the team. I don't care. I want you to show that you are the best. You're definitely better than Portland now. I like Damian Lillard and those guys up there, but no, you're better than Portland. Gee, whatever's happening in Minnesota right now, you're definitely better than that. Because you're not going to have Jimmy Butler playing on that team. And then Denver, hey, Denver's a nice story, but you're better than that team too. I want them to show everyone in the Northwest Division that they are king and that they are the second best team right now in the Western Conference. And the way that you can do that is by winning the Northwest Division. I want to see a winning record against other teams in the Northwest Division. I want to see them take it. I'll even make my demand. I want to see them take it by 2 games at least. There you go.
I like that. You basically just did what the people do on a fan message board where they're like, I don't get why the team decides to lose every other game. Like, why don't they just quit losing and just win all the games, you know? But I agree. I think the Jazz should stop losing. And I said this before we started the broadcast. They won both of their preseason games. We might never see a Jazz loss.
Are you saying I'm ridiculous? I think that's what you're saying.
No, but I am. I do.
I know what you're saying.
I
mean silly, but I'm also kind of being realistic.
No, it would be
here.
Great.
I'd love to see them win the Northwest Division. Does it mean anything? No, not really. I mean, who cares if you hang a banner up in the arena over here saying, hey, we're Northwest Division champions. No one cares. But I think what it does is it shows the other team in the division and it shows the rest of the Western Conference we're a real team.
Yeah, I think they have to make that leap. No, but I do I do want the Jazz to win all their games. And I am laughing about it, but I secretly am that fan that at the start of the season, I think they might not ever lose another game.
Oh, come on, Spencer. Be a little realistic here. All right, Spencer's got his number two here on demands he's making or things he wants to see for this Jazz season.
I want to see the same team that we saw toward the end of the season, which was doing historic things. I mean, they were scoring in a way that they hadn't in seasons previous, and then they were putting on almost a historically dominant defensive effort. And if that team can start out the season that way, they're going to be making some serious noise. They're going to be I mean, they're going to be fighting for the best record in the league. They're going to make a leap that I think is going to be talked about. And the other thing is, I don't know if you noticed, but on like if you go to League Pass to buy League Pass right now, Donovan Mitchell is the face of League Pass right now. Think about that. The Jazz are going to – Jazz fans are going to have to learn how to share their superstar. We've always felt like nobody's paying attention to the Jazz. Nobody's watching the Jazz. We don't get any respect. Donovan Mitchell is everywhere. So I think that's my demand. Start the season the way you ended and then – be generous with sharing Donovan Mitchell. That's my other demand.
On the other hand, I mean, no, be generous and share. Donovan Mitchell's sharing a lot of himself, so I'm not sure how much more he can share. But, it was interesting back on Media Day, and this seems like forever ago now that we had Media Day. But back when we had Media Day, we had Quinn Snyder come out and say, I don't want to build on what we had last season because this is a brand new season. I thought that was kind of interesting. He was basically taking a fresh take.
Do you think that was just lowering expectations?
I don't know if it was lowering expectations or saying we're a new team now. Yeah, we.
But they're running it back. That seems odd because they brought back everybody.
Yeah, but I think what he's trying to say is that we're a new team. Things have players have improved. I don't want to just build. I want this to be a new experience. That's how I took it from what he said at Media Day. Mm. I think he wants a new experience, but I don't take anything away from what you said right there, Spencer, because I agree with you. I think we want to see that team that we saw go 29-6 in the last 35 games of the season. I think all of us want to see if that team really exists for an entire season. I know that's tough, but I think all of us kind of want to see, can the Jazz win 55 games this year? Is that doable? Do you think that's doable? I think it's doable.
Absolutely.
It's tough, but I think it's doable.
Yeah, I'm curious what else you saw at Media Day that caught your eye. Did you play in the media basketball game, by the way?
I did not, no. Okay. No. I did not play in the media basketball game. I'm totally out of shape, and it would have looked ridiculous if I
Well, listen, I saw pictures of other people there. Being out of shape would not have been disqualifying.
That's very true. Other things that caught me, Eric Woodyard, and he did the story. He asked a lot
Desert
about—
Desert News.
Yeah, for Desert News. I'm sorry. Thanks, Eric. He talked a lot. He wanted to do a story on Dante Exum, and so they asked a lot about Dante Exum. I thought it was fascinating, both from what Quinn Snyder said and also Dennis Lindsay. Both of them had nothing but praise for Dante Exum. They had nothing but good things to say about him, and I think probably some guys are out there wondering, why are you giving this guy $11 million a year over the next 3 years when we've hardly seen him play? And I think what they see is they see that guy that they can maybe not build around, but he's good enough to be a starter in this league. He's never going to be, in my opinion, he's never going to be a Ricky Rubio type of point guard. But man, can he be efficient? Can he still drive to the basket? He can learn to pass a little bit better. And if he can be a nice spot-up shooter, that'd be a nice addition. So I think they were really complimentary of how he came in at the end of the season and how well he played in the playoffs, especially in that Houston Rockets series. So I thought that was one thing that kind of stuck out to me. That was one of the things. And the other thing is, Quinn Snyder talking about expectations and how he's like, expectations are what you build. Let's not worry about expectations. We can have expectations. We can live up to it. We may not. And then you make new expectations. He said, no one expected us to do well last year after we went 19-28. And then we finished off the season 29-6. So he said, expectations change throughout the season. So I thought it was a nice, refreshing take because, of course, we in the media, we all want to know, what do you expect of your team this year?
Well, another demand that I have is I loved it so much watching the Jazz dominate the Warriors. What did they win? 3 out of 4, and 3 of them were blowout victories. I want that again. There's something so satisfying about beating the Warriors. That last season was so much fun. It was probably we talked about this on previous podcasts. I think last season was the most fun I've had as a Jazz fan my entire life, including other, finals runs and things like that. But there was also part of that was how much fun it was when they won on big nights. They had a couple of promoted nights. They had kind of a Star Wars night. They had a big national TV night. They had big opponents in town. They had LeBron in town. There were, I think, about 10 games during the season out of the 41 regular season games that you have. There were probably between 5 and 10 that were really big games. They felt like all the eyes in the league are on Salt Lake City tonight. We're at home. We're doing this and that. And they won those games. I think there were only two that they didn't win that were really all the focus was on. So I want them beating the Warriors again, and I want them winning those big, big nights when all the eyes are on them. That was the thing that I felt like separated the Gordon Hayward, not to bury Gordon Hayward again, it's fine, but the Gordon Hayward era versus the Donovan Mitchell era, is it just felt like those big games, the Jazz never seemed to win them back in the day. And they almost seemed like they didn't want them. It was this whole kind of collective, like, we don't want to put pressure on ourselves, so we're not going to do it. And it was so off-putting to me. That whole era was just, nobody wanted to go be great. This team now seems like they want to be great, and they're not going to take second place, and they're going to make it happen. So that's my demand. Keep winning those big games like that. Keep beating the Warriors. And please just win 3 out of 4 and blow them out 3 times. That's all I ask.
Wow. No pressure, Jazz. No pressure.
These are demands.
Yeah. You know, 55 wins. That's all we want to see from you. We want, and we're demanding that you also win all the big games.
That's it.
Which means they're probably going to lose a couple of the games they should lose.
Oh, do you think I just jinxed them?
Oh, no. But I also don't believe they're going to win 82 games. So anyway, well, while we're, by the way, the demand I was going to say that I was going to make of the fans, and you may not agree with this, I'll just throw it out there really quickly, that the fans actually not boo Gordon Hayward when he comes back
to
play
with
Celtics.
I like that. I'm totally on board with you.
Really? Okay.
I wrote, listen, I was going to say famously, but nobody read my blog. But like when I was running Salt City Hoops, we had a post one time where it was in the Darren Williams era. And I said, you know, let's make the case that once a Jazz man, always a Jazz man. And you just don't boo under any circumstance. It's just not a good look. I'm not trying to tell people how to fan, whatever. I guess I am specifically telling them how to fan right now. But I just don't think there's anything to win. You look petty. You look small. Get over it. And I do think at Salt City Hoops, we have Jimbo Rudding writing a recurring segment where he has a shtick where he calls out Derek Fisher for lying to 3 teams to get out of contracts, which is very petty, but also hilarious to me. And I think that the long play of that joke is what makes it funny. But I think we're seeing a reconciliation. There was the piece this summer where they talked about Darren Williams reconciling with Coach Sloan. You know, I hope that there's a place for Gordon Hayward down the road with the Jazz organization in some fashion. I hope that he can be accepted back into the community. I always want a reconciliation with former players. I think that as they come through, they have an impact on the community. I'm not trying to bury him. I think it was messed up how he left. And I think, you know, he wasn't, I didn't really enjoy the era while he was here. But I wish him nothing but success, and I hope he has a good year. He looks like he's healthy again, and I want nothing but success. And when he comes in, give him a polite applause, let him play the game, and let's beat the Celtics.
All right, quick commercial break here on the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll finish up our demands for the Jazz coming up next right here on the KSL News Radio app and other places that you've downloaded this podcast. All right, welcome back to the Jazz Notes podcast. Spencer Hall and I, we're giving our demands for this team this season. Well, you know, Spencer just wants them to win 82 games.
It's not asking too much.
No, I don't think it is.
They're going to play 82 of them. Just win all of them.
Yeah, win all of them, which means they win all the big games, they win the small, they just win everything. So here is my next demand. My next demand is that Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell become All-Stars this year.
Nice. I like that.
Talk about a really tough demand. I mean, think about that. Think about the guards that are in the in the Western Conference right now. Donovan Mitchell would have to be incredible the first half of the season. I think he already has a lot of people on his side. A lot of people already like him. But I'm not sure they can put him in there as a Western Conference All-Star. Right. But he would have to play. How much do you think he'd have to average just to garner All-Star status? Maybe not a starter, but maybe a backup. You think he's averaging, what, 26, 28 points a game?
Yeah, he'd have to be in that. He'd have to be in that zone to get in the conversation. Have they changed the format at all for the All-Star game this year?
I don't think so. I think everything's still the same. So I think that.
Then you're talking about fan voting. You're talking about there's a lot of reasons that are stacked against him. I think he's going to have to really take it to that next level. I would love to see it. I feel like we're on the cusp of something special with him. Maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's next year. But the West, it only got more crowded, and he's going to be up against it. But who knows? With a few injuries, with maybe the way things go, I mean, you know, he could have an opportunity to do some really special things.
Rudy Gobert may be a little more likely just because they still kind of break it up by position. So I think he might be, you know, because he's one defensive player of the year, and if he can stay healthy like you talked about a little bit earlier, I think they've got a really good chance to have him be in there. But it'd be great to have two. I mean, when was the last time the Jazz had two All-Stars? Probably Stockton Malone.
Absolutely. So, well, yeah. No, I think Boozer and D-Will made it one time.
Okay. So, but still, I mean, it's so rare, and everything is kind of working against Jazz, but I'm just going to make that demand.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell, go out there, be an All-Star this year. Don't wait. Don't be, you know, none of this dunk champion thing. You know, go out there and just be an All-Star. That's it. That's all I'm demanding this season. I want an All-Star
in
your second season. That's all I'm asking for.
It's a simple demand.
Spencer, you got one last one?
I think I've said my piece with the Jazz. I want them to win every game. No, but I guess the last one is just to keep letting Donovan be Donovan. That's my demand on the team. I could see the team. He's everywhere. You see him doing events. You see him on social media. He's doing national commercials. He's on a League Pass commercial. And in conversations I've had with the team, I know that that's been their concern, that like maybe he's too good at this. The social aspect is maybe putting too many demands on him. My demand for the team is let Donovan be Donovan. Don't try to put him in a cage. Don't try to box him up. I just am worried that we're going to eventually have some kind of a thing where he's going to realize, you know, I gotta put some boundaries up or do something. Let him make that, but I just don't. I just think we're all better served letting him. He's proven that he's a genius. Let him be him, and don't try to box him in and tell him, like, hey, take down your Twitter, take down your Instagram. Don't go do this appearance. Don't be showing up here. I think that would be a huge disappointment. And speaking of a similar thing, I think that's a little bit what the team did with Andrei Kirilenko. I've often wondered what a truly unleashed Andrei Kirilenko could have done in his prime. I always think in an alternative universe, he would have been traded to Phoenix and been able to be on that 7 seconds or less Phoenix team instead of Sean Marion. And I think we would have been able to see somebody that had such a joy of life, such a joy for the game, be able to play it in a way that wasn't being constrained. And I see a little bit of that in Donovan Mitchell, that he's locked in on the game. He's a total pro, wants to do the right thing. But he also loves like taking care of his fans and interacting, you know, in pop culture and out in the world. And I don't know if you saw it, but he posted on Instagram the other day, and Steph Marbury wrote on his Instagram and wrote a big long thing saying, "You're special. Show me something special this year. You know, make it count," all this stuff. And I just thought, when the OGs, when the guys like Steph Marbury are coming out of the cobwebs to give their due propers to a guy like Donovan Mitchell, don't box that up. Don't get rid of it.
Well said, well said. I had a whole bunch of other – I wrote like 10 or 11 things down. Here's what did not make the cut. let's see. Dante Exum closes out some games. I'd like to see that. I actually don't want to see a trade this year. I'd love to see this team stay with the guys that
Absolutely.
They have. I want to see Rudy Gobert either make a three-pointer or a skyhook, and not by accident. You know, I want it to actually be good. Let's see, Western Conference Finals, I wouldn't mind. Donovan Mitchell becoming an All-Star, I already said that. Here are the two that I think I'd love to see. I'd love to see Grayson Allen grow out his hair and beard so that he can totally embrace trying to be the next hunk for the Jazz, Alex Carey would say, and take over the Ricky Rubio role. But here's the one I definitely want to make a demand on, and that is I want to see a Joe Ingles roast. I'm not talking about him roasting the other guys. We've seen that already. Mm. I want a night when they bring all the players together and everyone roasts Joe Ingles.
Now,
that doesn't mean that we can't have Joe kind of make comments back and forth.
Right.
We need that. That is a definite must, too. But I think that each player should be given, at least 5 minutes and just go all out and let them roast Joe Ingles as much as possible and then let him respond for a minute or so. I think that would be comedy gold. The Jazz fans would eat it up. The NBA would eat it up because they all know what kind of a guy Joe Ingles is.
I like it.
And aren't you glad that he's on the Utah Jazz
right
now?
It's perfect. He really is in a lot of ways. He's the heart in a lot of ways. I think he's the secret sauce for the reason they have the camaraderie they have. I think it's the reason why a lot of the guys who come off the bench enjoy their role. He has that way of kind of helping everybody understand we're all going to work hard. Everybody's going to eat. Everybody's going to get a chance to play. Everybody's going to come in and be their best when they're in there. Yeah, I love everything about what he's bringing. Good stuff. I if they just do all of our demands, we're going to have a great year.
Yeah, exactly. I think the roast, it needs to happen at All-Star break. Do it during the All-Star break. Do it on, what, NBA TV?
When they're down in Mexico on their Mexico trip.
Yeah, do it. Exactly. Do something like that. That's all we're demanding. Utah Jazz, you can hear us right now. Steve Starks, you're listening to us, right? Yeah, Dennis Lindsay, Quinn Snyder. Okay, you probably are all laughing at it right now. But anyway, hey, thanks for listening to us here on the Jazz Notes Podcast. Season coming up soon. We'll have more stuff for you coming up right here on the Jazz Notes Podcast. Thanks for listening.